Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host. On this Labor Day, I hope you are spending time with your friends, your loved ones. The situation worldwide is bizarre beyond belief. I have colleagues who are huge fans of Benjamin Fulford, and he has a report today about the situation in Europe and NATO that I find rather remarkable, so I want to begin by sharing that with you. Most of today, however, I want to give you multiple different reports and perspectives on the horrendous speech delivered by Biden. And indeed, he was asked subsequently about the speech and said he didn't think Trump supporters were enemies of the state or words to that effect, leading me to conjecture, is it possible it wasn't the same guy who delivered the speech? I mean, this may sound far out, but those of you who are familiar with holographic technology, one of the stunners you can find online was from at least 10 years ago, where a guy came out, gave a whole speech, and it turned out it was a hologram, and it was totally 100% believable. Could they be using a holographic projection of Biden to deliver the speech? And notice how the Hitler-esque qualities of the speech. I mean, Biden doesn't have the voice for it. He's really a pathetic example or emulator. I found the whole thing just profoundly disturbing, really beyond belief, for a president of the United States. So I want to share opinions from four or five different sources about what was going on here, because in my opinion, something, we have turned a corner with that speech. Meanwhile, Benjamin Fulford, entire leadership of NATO fired as interregnum begins. The removal of the top ranks of the Knights of Malta by the Vatican means the entire leadership of NATO has been fired, P3 Freemason sources say. There's also a purge going on inside Vatican City as Zionist cabal members are being removed, the sources say. This is causing a leadership vacuum in the G7 group of countries as their entire economic social system collapses. We are also getting multiple reports from intelligence agency sources around the world of a new 9/11 or Fukushima type event being planned for this month. High-level sources are mentioning dates like September 8th, that's only 3 days hence, 11th, and 23rd. It's all part of a Khazarian mafia attempt to extort money from the rest of the world as a September 30th payment deadline for the United States of America Corporation and its KM owners approaches. In this context, there's a very real probability the EU and most governments in the EU will collapse, possibly before the end of the month. That is because the Russians have cut off gas flows to Europe, while the rest of the world has also stopped sending oil to the region. This is not just about heating European homes either. The cutoff is certain to lead to a shutdown of most industries in Western Europe. For example, a business lobby says high energy prices are already threatening to shut down 60% of UK factories. To deal with the situation, it appears the UK government has begun to start using previously forbidden Tesla energy technology, as this photograph of Tesla coils taken in England recently shows. Other countries may have to follow suit. As I understand it, they've been holding back because Tesla provides a way to create free energy, which, of course, would knock the slats off of the traditional source of energy. But if the traditional sources of energy are unavailable, it may be there's a necessity to turn to Tesla as an unexpected development. Meanwhile, the shutting down of Nord Stream 1 gas pipeline to Germany for technical reasons has been widely reported, but is only the tip of the iceberg. Unreported so far is that a Russian submarine entered the Mediterranean last week and cut a gas pipeline that was sending fuel to France from Algeria. In yet another blow, Zaporizhzhia, Europe's largest nuclear power plant, was severed from the national grid for the first time in its history after transmission lines were cut, prompting power cuts across Ukraine. The majority of thinking people the world over realize it is Russia who is on the side of truth and is doing its best to thwart a global Nazi comeback. Foreign Intelligence Service Director Sergei Naryshkin explained on September 3rd. I am confident that the inevitable destruction of the hegemony of the West liberal totalitarian regimes also make the world a more open, honest, and just place, he added. Devoutly to be wished. Meanwhile, Benjamin Fulford adds, Russia is not your enemy, that your enemy is not in Russia, with a pastiche showing photographs of Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and George Soros. I think he's got it right. Meanwhile, Newt Gingrich. This is one now of a series of opinions from diverse sources just to suggest to you how profound this appears to have been. Newt Gingrich. Biden committing greatest ever act of aggression by an American president against his own people. As President Joe Biden excoriates millions of Americans as mega Republicans, extremists, semi-fascists, and threats to democracy, something he'll likely do again in his Soul of the Nation speech, though this actually was prior to the horrendous speech, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich says Biden's sneering insults stem from terror. Gingrich, speaking to Fox News Wednesday night, so this is the night before the event, So that more than 70 million Americans voted for Donald Trump in the last election. Now, a president of the United States characterized half of his country in the way Joe Biden does is the greatest act of aggression by an American president against his own people that we have ever seen. It's truly an astonishing moment. It doesn't fit any of our prior history, Gingrich said. And I keep telling my friends, do not assume anything based on past precedent, because you're now dealing with people who are terrified. I mean, if you're the senior FBI or you're the White House, and you're looking at the potential of a Republican-controlled House and Senate, you realize all your emails, all your meetings, everything you've been doing could suddenly become public and your entire career could be destroyed, and you might end up in jail. I mean, you're going to do everything you can to try to guarantee the Republicans can't win this fall because you're terrified of what a Republican Congress would be like. Republican congressional leaders, including House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, have promised to hold hearings on the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden influence peddling allegations, among other investigations, if Republicans take back the House in November. McCarthy has also told Attorney General Merrick Garland to preserve your documents and clear your calendar in preparation for an anticipated Republican probe of what McCarthy calls a politically weaponized Justice Department and FBI. Gingrich said the Biden-Garland Justice Department is the most corrupt in all of American history. You have corruption from the Attorney General to the head of the FBI to senior elements of the FBI. You have collusion from a wide range of the intelligence community. You had, I think it was 50-some intelligence senior officials who signed a letter last year. What we now know is a total lie, none of whom have recounted. And that, of course, was saying the Hunter laptop was a Russian propaganda. I fully expect the Justice Department to indict President Trump in a D.C. court district where he got 5.6% of the vote. So by 19-1, the jury is likely to be against him. I think this is an all-out effort. I just heard Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, said the FBI asked him to suppress a Hunter Biden laptop story for the 3 or 4 weeks before the election in 2021. At the time, by the way, but some 80% of Americans say if they had known how corrupt Hunter Biden through him his father were, they probably would have voted against Joe Biden. So I have no idea what's going to happen next. I'm an historian by training, and I tell everybody you have to assume that nothing you know tells you anything about how corrupt and how sick this is going to get. Because you have fanatics who represent a secular religion or are determined to destroy not just Trump, but Trump's followers. And they could do almost anything. We have no way of knowing what the next 6 months or 2 years are going to bring. In his August 26th speech in Rockville, Maryland, Biden closed with this attack on millions of Americans. What a serious moment in our nation's history. The mega Republicans don't just threaten our personal rights and economic security. They're a threat to our very democracy. They refuse to accept the will of the people. They embrace political violence. They don't believe in democracy. This is why, in this moment, those of you who love this country, Democrats, independents, mainstream Republicans, we must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving America than the mega Republicans are to destroying America. I mean, this is just incredibly bad. Here's another. Reporters highlight how White House lied about the nature of Biden's controversial speech, but White House doesn't like the accountability. Mainstream media reporter called out President Joe Biden Thursday after the tone of his speech contradicted what officials had promised. The White House, however, did not appreciate the accountability. White House Press Secretary Jean-Pierre was asked directly whether Biden's speech would be political, and she denied it would be. No, it's not a political speech, Jean-Pierre said. This is an opportunity again for the president to directly have a conversation with the American people. Reporters, however, appeared not to buy what she was selling because they repeatedly asked her how the speech would not be political if Biden would confront MAGA Republicans and the threat he believes they pose to American democracy. During Biden's controversial speech, reporters noted how, in fact, Biden's speech was entirely political. Good manners is nothing they've ever suffered from, POTUS says about protesters at his speech, in which he accused former President Trump and MAGA Republicans of threatening the foundation of U.S. democracy. The White House said earlier today the speech was not political, Reuters reporter Jeff Mason noted. CBS reporter Ed O'Keefe, meanwhile, noted the highly partisan optics of Biden's speech. Like or loathe what he said tonight, it should be noted the president spoke tonight on the grounds of a national park, flanked by U.S. Marines, took direct specific aim at his predecessor and members of the Republican Party, O'Keefe noted. Another thing we don't see every day. CNN anchor Brianna Keillor was also heavily critical of Biden. Whatever you think of this speech, the military is supposed to be apolitical. Positioning Marines in uniform behind President Biden for a political speech flies in the face of that, she tweeted. It's wrong when Democrats do it. It's wrong when Republicans do it. So how did the White House respond? Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates directly responded to each of the journalists using reporting examples from each respective news outlet to deny that Biden's speech was overly political. Except it's not political. In the same way, CNN isn't political, but has made the same warnings Bates told Keller Point to CNN Stories, in which the outlet connected the fight for democracy and Trump supporters. In response to O'Keefe and Mason, Bates pointed to three CBS News stories and three Reuters stories. The stories, however, are not comparable to what Biden said. Yes, they may be of similar content, but the criticism of Biden's speech stems from exactly what Mason observed, namely the White House said it would not be political, and yet it was, massively. For background, Reuters poll. Joe Biden's net approval dropped 7 points in 1 week. President Joe Biden's net approval rate dropped a full 7 points in 1 week, according to Reuters Ipsos poll release. This is back on Tuesday. And I guarantee you, it ain't going to get better. This speech is not going to approve it. Only 38% approved of Biden this week, while 58% disapproved, for a net approval rating of minus 20. Last week, 41% approved and 54% disapproved for a net approval rate of minus 13. The poll sampled 1,005 Americans with a 4-point margin of error. Those sampled included 449 Democrats, 357 Republicans, roughly equaling the proportion of registered voters in the United States. Reuters admitted the poll is a poor sign for his Democrat Party's hopes in November 8th midterm elections, despite a string of Democratic legislative victories that Biden's allies hope will help them defend their narrow congressional majorities in November. Not a chance. The establishment media in the last few weeks have been hyping the Democrats' renewed hope of retaining the House and the Senate. But Biden's polling, which is a bellwether for midterm election outcomes, runs contrary to the media narrative. Democrats are expected to lose control of the U.S. House of Representatives in November and possibly the Senate as well. Since you only need one seat in the Senate, I think it's a foregone conclusion that the Republicans are going to take the Senate. I'm predicting they pick up 3 or 4 seats. And in the House, I still think as much as 100. Here you have Mike Berg tweeting, threat, another cycle, another round of the media saying Democrats are going to win GOP or doom. Let's take a look at some of their past predictions. To retake the Senate, Republicans must retain seats in Wisconsin, Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and one additional. Other Senate races in Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia have a great deal of uncertainty. Here's Interactive Polls tweeting. fine approval polls holding near the low end of his presidency. Joe Biden, August 23 to 24, approved 41, disapproved 54. Biden, August 29 to 30, approved 38, disapproved 58. Net change minus 7 in just 1 week. The poll also found that Joe Biden's recessive economy is the number one issue for both Republicans and Democrats. Throughout Biden's presidency, the nation's economy has been rocked by 40-year high inflation and record high gas prices. Biden's plan to resolve the crisis has been to spend massive amounts of money to prevent global warming. Among Democrats, about 1 in 8 saw the environment as the top issue, and about 1 in 10 pointed to the end of national abortion rights, the poll found. For Republicans, the next most pressing problem were immigration and crime, each of which topped concerns for about 1 in 10 Republicans. Crime and illegal immigration have soared under Joe Biden. 1 year after Biden gave Vice President Kamala Harris the responsibility of preventing illegal immigration, over 221,300 illegal immigrants have been encountered illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. That number represents a new high for the Biden administration and the worst month since the Department of Homeland Security was founded in 2002, the Republican National Committee research team reported. The number represents the third highest on record. Crime is also a major worry for Americans. According to Fox News, crime in 7 of the nation's largest cities has spiked anywhere from nearly 5% to 40% compared to 2021. The cities included in the analysis were Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York City, Philadelphia, Seattle, and Washington, D.C., all of whom, would you observe, are under control of the Democratic Party, everyone. And indeed, this is true across the nation, that it is states, it is cities where the Democrats are in control that crime has been surging. Here's now a more recent piece from Zero Hedge. Biden's red rant. Are conservatives being set up as scapegoats for disaster? Did the establishment just declare open war on conservatives? It's hard to determine what the point of Biden's recent red rant is, but it does seem like a shot across the bow of anyone who doesn't agree with the authoritarianism of the extreme political left. An important fact to remember is that these types of speeches are always intricately planned. Biden likely didn't write that speech. He couldn't write a speech if his life depended upon it. A team of writers composed it for him. Biden didn't pick the totalitarian blood-red lights as his background. Someone else planned that out. The two Marines standing behind Biden was clearly meant as a message of intimidation. It didn't work, but that's beside the point. The level of hostility in Biden's rant was carefully calculated. It was not haphazard. People like to say that Biden has dementia and is losing his mind. But in this case, Biden had very little to do with the production. He is a puppet reading from a teleprompter. Everything he says is scientifically constructed by a host of puppeteers. Count on it. They use social psychologists, propagandists as experts in designing these speeches. Biden's statement that Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic is about as inflammatory as it gets when it comes to presidential declarations. The only step beyond that is to send brown shirts and jackboots door to door. So what is the motivation of Biden's handlers in this case? The speech seems to have divided his base voters. Even CNN tried to change the blood-red color in Biden's background to pink. The symbolism of death and tyranny was obvious. It is unlikely that the Red Rant was designed to rally Democrats to the extreme leftist cause. Furthermore, polls indicate severely diminishing confidence in Biden's capacity even as a mascot. With 75% of Democrats hoping someone other than Sleepy Joe runs in 2024, the mainstream has been working overtime to implant the narrative that conservatives will lose in November because of their support for anti-abortion laws at the state level. However, this message has not been shown to translate into anti-MAGA sentiment. Multiple MAGA candidates have won their primary election, showing no sign of public hostility over abortion laws, at least on the Republican side. Surveys show the top concerns of Americans are food security and the economy. Only 8 to 9% of Americans bring up abortion laws as a top concern. Unless there's a significant improvement in the economic conditions of the U.S., the probability of a red sweep in November is high. The establishment knows this well. In fact, economic conditions could be considerably worse after November. The issue here is one of optics, which is why Biden's vitriolic speech against anti-establishment conservatives might be crafted in preparation for a faltering Democratic Party rather than an attempt to rally the leftist troops. The U.S. economy is headed for an even more substantial downturn as we head into 2023, as the Federal Reserve hikes interest rates into economic weakness and the EU faces energy shortages that could spill over into the global supply chain.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Continuing with a zero hedge, I repeat the last sentence or two. The issue here is one of optics, which is why Biden's vitriolic speech against anti-establishment conservatives might be crafted in preparation for a faltering Democratic Party rather than an attempt to rally the leftist troops. The U.S. economy is headed for an even more substantial downturn as we head into 2023, as the Federal Reserve hikes interest rates into economic weakness and the EU faces energy shortages that could spill over into the global supply chain. Biden's team in the media have been trying to spin the stagflation crisis as if all is well, constantly citing high job numbers created by COVID stimulus measures that prove of the strongest economy ever. The spin is about to fall apart as companies advance toward more layoffs at the end of this year. Biden has done nothing to prepare the public for this eventuality as prices on necessities continue to remain high and average income families are facing financial distress this winter. It might be in the establishment's best interest to set the stage now for blaming conservatives for disasters they know will occur next year. The message will be, look at what happens when you let these right-wing lunatics gain government power. The economy crashes. Another explanation is that potential election inconsistencies will rise in November, and the establishment knows this. So they're building a narrative in advance to attack any conservative who raises questions and accuse them of working against democracy or of insurrection. In either case, Biden's speech is not the mere dribblings of an old fool. There is intent and calculated propaganda behind it. We may not know exactly what its true purpose is for months to come. There's another that I regard as even more searching and profound. Here we go. This is also in Zero Hedge, but it's authored by Roger Kimball. Biden puts a total in totalitarianism. And it's got a photograph of massive flames in the background as Biden is waving a huge club with spikes in it. And it's labeled a mostly peaceful speech. Joe Biden certainly set the pundocracy abuzz with his neo-totalitarian performance piece at Independence Hall in Philadelphia on Thursday. The significance of that speech can be broken down into three parts, two of which have already received abundant commentary. The first has to do with the theater of the piece, its optic or stagecraft. As many commentators, myself included, noted, the feel of the event was distinctly and distinctively bombastic. The melodramatic red lighting, the presence of armed Marines flanking the president, and Biden's hectoring, gesticulating delivery made the event seem eerily reminiscent of a speech by Stalin, Mao, or the closest parallel, that diminutive former house painter who, for a few short years, mesmerized the world with his elaborately staged rallies before pushing ahead with more kinetic activities. To those who object that I'm flirting with Goodwin's Law by invoking old AH, meaning Adolf Hitler, I reply that the flirtation was not mine, but the doing of Biden producers and puppeteers. A visual similarity between Joe Biden's event and some nighttime events at Nuremberg are just too striking to be coincidental. Lenny Riefenstahl, as someone noted, would have been proud. Those who point out that Biden's speech took place on September 1st, a fraught day on the Polish border, Anno Domini 1939, may be too ingenious for this historically illiterate age, but who knows? Often these things are, as our Marxist friends like to say, no accident. There are wheels within wheels. Which brings me to the question of the intent of the theatrics. Was this exercise in garish totalitarian kitsch a gaffe, as some are saying, an aesthetic miscalculation for which that blinking, inarticulate Muppet who is Biden's press secretary will have to apologize? Apparently not. She just said the speech was not political. A year back, I might have thought the theatrics were inadvertent. I have changed my mind. Having watched Biden's Justice Department morph into an American Stasi, with the FBI conducting pre-dawn raids against various Trump supporters, arresting various former aides, and confiscating the mobile phones and other property of his lawyers, I now think that tactics of intimidation are part of a larger strategy. The FBI's raid last month on Mar-a-Lago, Trump's Palm Beach resident, belongs in this category, as, of course, do the hundreds of indictments and incarcerations of January 6th protesters. Almost all of those unfortunate souls wind up being charged with minor torts like parading in or around the Capitol, yet are nonetheless thrown into a special D.C. gulag for months before being found guilty by biased juries and subject to enhanced sentences handed down by Trump-hating judges. None of this is adventitious. Like the intimidating and slightly unhinged theatrics of Biden's speech, They are all deliberate scare tactics. Warnings to all of us of what can happen to those who dissent. The spectacle of 87,000 newly minted IRS agents waiting in the wings is another part of that shock and awe campaign. Beyond theatrics. So much for the theatrics of the speech. What about its substance? It was a tooth and claw attack on Donald Trump and the MAGA agenda. How sharp were those teeth and claws? Trump and his supporters said Biden shaking his fists represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. The very foundations of our republic, forsooth. A week earlier, he noted that the problem was not just Trump. It's the entire philosophy that underpins the semi-fascism of the MAGA agenda. The response to this unprecedented attack by a sitting president against his predecessor, as well as against the tens of millions, more than 74 million, we are told, of his predecessor supporters, has been so robust that Biden felt it necessary to walk back his remarks, sort of. I don't consider a Trump supporter a threat to the country, he said Friday, after saying just that on primetime television to the entire nation the right before. This is why I'm suspicious that we may have seen a hologram of Biden Thursday night. And Biden himself may have not, or the guy, the imposter playing him, may have not even seen his own speech. But wait, what is the MAGA? Or to quote the results of the lucubrations of Biden's focus group, ultra-MAGA agenda, that is supposedly so dangerous. It's worth keeping the meanings of these epithets in mind. When Donald Trump first proposed his Make America Great Again formula, he specified several things that it encompassed. At the top of the list were efforts to restore American prosperity, in part by exploiting our enormous energy resources, in part by abolishing mischievous and burdensome regulations, in part by cutting taxes and providing incentives for American businesses to hire Americans and produce their goods in America. Also at the top of this list was the integrity of our southern border, staunching the flow of illegal immigration and rebuilding a military that had been woefully neglected during the Obama years. Elsewhere on the domestic front, Trump battled against political correctness and what has come to be called identity politics. He largely remade the federal judiciary, seeing three Supreme Court justices and hundreds of lower court federal judges confirmed, all of whom were nominated because they subscribed to Antonin Scalia-like judicial philosophy that limits the role of judges to interpreting the law in the light of the Constitution, not making law under the inspiration of their personal policy preferences. In the sphere of foreign policy, the MAGA agenda meant putting America first. He insisted that our NATO allies begin to shoulder their stipulated financial burden, challenge China on trade and military adventurism, and scuttled the disastrous Obama-era nuclear deal since renewed with Iran. Actually, it hasn't been renewed. It's still on the negotiating table. And by the way, this is one of the places where I disagree. I thought the Iran deal was very appropriate. Iran hasn't even been seeking to develop nuclear weapons, and this was a concession to Zionist forces that Trump ought not to have accommodated. Trump also stood firmly against a democracy exporting, more accurately, democracy exporting policies of the Bush administration. And they put the, you know, democracy in quotes, meaning they're just using it as camouflage. America would go to war not to promulgate democracy, but only to defend its own interests. His Abraham Accord brought peace to the Middle East, a world historical achievement for which Trump deserved the Nobel Peace Prize. Unlike that guy Obama, who was given a Nobel for nothing, accomplishing nothing, and who in fact went on to betray the United States in massive ways. And how did that work out? Pretty well, I'd say. By the time Trump left office, America was a net exporter of energy. Illegal immigration had slowed to a trickle. Before the onslaught of COVID, his policies had resulted in the lowest unemployment in decades, the lowest minority employment ever. Wages were rising, especially at the lower rungs, and the stock market was booming. All in all, MAGA meant American prosperity and success. It did not, however, bode well for the elite globalist agenda, which rested upon endless foreign wars, the neglect of American workers, and a disdain for traditional bourgeois values like hard work, family solidarity, and local initiatives. Biden's handlers have attempted to co-opt or usurp the epithet MAGA and transform it into something ominous. But what it means is not some existential threat to the very foundations of our republic. On the contrary, it is an affirmation of the principles of limited government and individual liberty that undergird the foundation of the American republic. The goal is control. Which brings me to the third current of significance in Biden's performance, remember. That's after the theatrics of the MOTA presentation and the attack on the MAGA. So here's the third. There was a theatrical aspect, a substantive aspect, the attack on Trump, his supporters, and all things MAGA. And there is the long strategic game implied, not just in Biden's speech, but in the extraordinary overweening activity of his administration. In Joe Biden and the Sovietization of America, a column that will be published in the October edition of Spectator World, available online in mid-September. I mentioned in passing the practice of Geschling-Holton, the attempt to bring all aspects of life into alignment with a governing philosophy of the state. The term was popularized in Germany in the late 1930s, but it described a process that is common to all totalitarian societies. Indeed, it describes the effort that puts a total into totalitarian. Among other things, it involves a politicalization of all aspects of life, the surrender of individuality to ideology. George Orwell sketched a process in 1984. Lenin and Stalin brought that fiction to real life in their iron-fisted control of life in the Soviet Union. Xi Jinping continues that legacy today in China. What we call political correctness hints at the program. For really, to be politically correct is to suffuse every element of one's life with the dogmas that the ruling consensus has defined as the correct orthodoxy. The fascistic formula, the personal is a political, gives one expression to this idea, since taken seriously, it denies the legitimacy of the personal altogether. The Biden regime is making great strides in that direction. As John Hammer observes in a penetrating column, Biden apparatchiks are moving on multiple fronts to abolish the distinction between the public sector and the private. Late last month, for example, the world was treated to Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg confessing to Joe Rogan that, yes, the FBI did in fact put pressure on the social media giant to bury news about Hunter Biden's laptop from hell. news that very likely would have changed the result of the 2020 election had it been allowed to circulate. This, of course, among those who don't appreciate the profundity of the theft. Entities like Facebook and Twitter, Hammer points out, no longer qualify as meaningfully private and have simply become appendages of the state. They are simply part of the propaganda machine of the ruling party. Citing Missouri Attorney General and U.S. Senate candidate Eric Schmidt, Hammer describes the vast censorship enterprise promulgated by the state. Former U.S. Representative Devin Nunes, Republican of California, described aspects of this enterprise in his book, Countdown to Socialism. Actually, it's much more serious. It really is. Countdown to totalitarianism. But the goal of total control involves more than censorship. It also involves the insinuation of the state into the most intimate areas of our private lives. One example is the Biden regime's new weaponization of Title IX legislation. This brief statute, which in just a couple of lines says that institutions that receive federal funds may not discriminate on the basis of sex, has been enlisted in the campaign to abolish natural sexual identity and replace it with a polymorphous gender-fluid model. Among other things, this radical new interpretation of Title IX gives teachers priority over parents on matters of sex and gender, requiring, for example, that K-12 schools, that's elementary, middle, and high schools, support socially transitioning children to a different gender without requiring notice to parents. The involvement of medical professionals or legal documentation notice, typically everyone in kindergarten through 12 is lower, below the age of 18. These are children. The late Andrew Breitbart liked to point out that politics is downstream from culture. Indeed it is. It saddens me to report, though, that the left seems to have a livelier appreciation of this fact than the right. Barack Obama came to office promising to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Obama laid the groundwork for that transformation. Now his bumbling, senescent protege, aided by an army of Obama-era lieutenants, a compliant media, and a corrupt deep state bureaucracy, is completing the job. There is, I know, a point of no return, a point beyond which a society beset by totalitarian impulses must either rebel or succumb utterly. Are we there yet? I do not know. I do sense, however, that we have come perilously close to the edge. I pray that it is not too late. I find that absolutely sensational. If you want a further indication of the corruption of the executive branch, suspicious timing. AG Merrick Garland sends memo to DOJ and FBI employees reminding them not to talk to Congress. Absent anything else going on, this memo would seem innocuous. However, when you consider at least 20 FBI whistleblowers from the FBI have approached both the House and the Senate in the past several weeks, this memo takes on a new meaning. According to the memo, sent initially by Attorney General Merrick Garland, he is reminding everyone in the Department of Justice and the FBI about restrictions against talking to Congress. Mind you, talking to Congress, those are the people's representatives. Those are the persons responsible for governing the nation. Here you have, Office of Attorney General, dated August 30th. Memorandum for all department personnel from the Attorney General, subject, communications with Congress. In light of the confirmation earlier this month of Carlos Uderalde is Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legislative Affairs. This is an appropriate time to reaffirm and remind all department personnel of our existing policies regarding communications between the Justice Department and Congress. These policies, which can be found at Justice Manual 1-8.000, may be supplemented from time to time with more specific directions for particular components. Like the policies regarding communication with the White House, these policies are designed to protect our criminal and civil law enforcement decisions and our legal judgments from partisan or other inappropriate influences, whether real or perceived, direct or indirect. Memorandum from the Attorney General, Department of Justice, Communication with the White House, July 21st, 2021. They are also designed to ensure that Congress may carry out its legitimate investigatory and oversight functions. And as the manual I-8.800 makes clear, nothing in these policies is intended to conflict with or limit whistleblower protections, such as those provided in 5 U.S. Code 2302 to 2302 and applicable regulations. The Central Justice Manual is providing as follows. It goes on. The internal citation taken to Justice Manual Section 1, Title 800, Congressional and White House Relations, 1-8.200. Except as provided in this chapter, no department employee may communicate with senators, representatives, congressional committees, or congressional staff without advance coordination, consultation, and approval by the Office of Legislative Affairs. Think about it.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. The the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I'm addressing how the Department of Justice implements totalitarian control over whistleblowers. And I've been going through the memorandum the Attorney General sent out, which continues as follows. All congressional inquiries and correspondence from members, committees, and staff should be immediately directed to the OLA, Office of Legislative Affairs, upon receipt. Make of the timing what you will, however, if you have followed the political corruption within main justice and the FBI, the intent of the memo seems pretty clear. A warning to those who might consider trying to escape the clutches of a comprehensively corrupt institution, or as Senator Chuck Grassley recently observed, if these allegations are true and accurate, the Justice Department, FBI, are and have been institutionally corrupted to their very core, to the point at which the United States Congress and the American people will have no confidence in the equal application of the law. Attorney General Garland and Director Wray, simply put, based on the allegations that I've received from numerous whistleblowers, you have systemic and existential problems within your agency. No doubt about it. Meanwhile, Trump calls out the photograph of what were supposed to be secret documents that were found at the Mar-a-Lago, but where they appear to have been arranged. This was a photo op. The FBI laid them out. They weren't sprawled on the floor at Mar-a-Lago. Is anyone dumb enough to believe that? Former President Donald Trump suggests the FBI agents were reckless with classified documents during the raid at Mar-a-Lago, perhaps pretending it was me who did it. Trump's latest comments about the FBI search of his home were posted Tuesday morning on Truth Social. Terrible the way the FBI featuring the raid at Mar-a-Lago threw documents haphazardly all over the floor, perhaps pretending it was me who did it, and then started taking pictures of them for the public to see. Though thought they wanted to keep secret? Luckily, I declassified. The Justice Department in court papers Tuesday said it had evidence that classified documents were deliberately concealed from the FBI when it tried to retrieve them from Trump's Florida home. The DOJ released a photograph of some of the records found inside Trump's home. The Daily Mail reported that the bombshell photo showed papers, many marked top secret, on the carpet of the Florida mansion during the August 8th search. Trump was the only, well, not the only, to comment on social media about the photo. Staged photo of declassified papers protected by the U.S. Secret Service. Nothing was available digitally like Hillary had. Stop just swallowing the government's constant spin. Do journalism. Former acting National Intelligence Director Rick Grenell tweeted. The Biden FBI staged a dishonest photo with purportedly classified material with the approval of the Biden DOJ and submitted it to a court to try to make Trump look bad. These agencies are irredeemably corrupt, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton tweeted. Trump has said all the documents at Mar-a-Lago had been declassified. The court filing in U.S. District Court in the Southern District of Florida also said Trump lawyers explicitly prohibited government personnel from opening or looking inside any of the boxes inside a storage room when FBI agents first traveled to his Palm Beach Mar-a-Lago resort in June to retrieve the records. The government also developed evidence that government records were likely concealed and removed from the storage room, and that efforts were likely taken to obstruct the government's investigation, said the department in the filing, which is all total bullshit. Meanwhile, get this, Mitchell has just shared with today's date, Zero Hedge. Judge halts FBI use of Mar-a-Lago raid docs, appoints special master to review. This is welcome and totally appropriate. A federal judge on Monday, I mean, it was Labor Day, but she took the task seriously, granted former President Trump's request for a third-party expert to review materials seized by the FBI from his Mar-a-Lago residence. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, said in a Sunday ruling released on Monday that a so-called special master would review the seized property, manage assertions of privilege, as well as make recommendations regarding the investigative value of materials and what property should be returned to Trump, Bloomberg reports. Here you have Chris, subscribe to the Law Dork Guider, tweeting, breaking. Judge Eileen Cannon grants Trump's request, orders the appointment of a special master to review questions over the materials seized at Mar-a-Lago. She also halts the use of materials for criminal investigative purposes, suspending the special master review. Very appropriate. I'm very happy. This is the right decision to take. Details of the review process will be decided after both sides submit proposals. As Jonathan Turley, who's a very responsible guy, noted last week, such an appointment should have been done before the Justice Department reviewed the material. The department sought a ridiculously broad search warrant, and Magistrate Paul Reinhart simply signed off on the order without considering the wide array of privileged material that could be seized. It adopted language so broad that it was the legal version of Captain Jack Sparrow's take what you can, give nothing back. It allowed the seizure of any box containing any document with any classification of any kind in all boxes stored in that box. It also allowed the seizure of any writing from Trump's presidency. However, a special master could still serve the same interests of transparency and legitimacy. The special master could divide these documents in classified material and classified defense and unclassified material outside the scope of the alleged crimes. last category would then be returned. Data counting could also offer basic descriptive information on the material without revealing the precise content or titles. A special master could describe material as related to national defense or nuclear weapons, as was previously leaked government sources. The government has already leaked there was nuclear weapon material being sought. Confirming such general details can be done without giving details on the specific information or even titles for the documents to protect national security. In national security cases, including cases where I have served as counsel, such indexes and summaries are common. Once again, as with the release of the redacted affidavit, Garland could have taken these steps to ensure the public that the department was not acting for political or improper purposes or using excessive means to achieve those goals. He has refused every opportunity to do so while chastising those who question the integrity of his department. The release of the redacted affidavit shows that what Garland and his department told the public was untrue about the inability to release a redacted affidavit without endangering the case or national security. As discussed yesterday, the redacted affidavit confirmed various key points on the legal and factual background. After opposing the release of even a single line, the government released whole pages that were manifestly suitable for public disclosure. Once again, Garland waited to be forced to take this step rather than act on his own to address widespread concerns. His department has a documented history of officials misleading courts and filing false material in Trump-related investigations. This is yet another example of how Attorney General Garland has done little to earn the trust of almost half the country. In this and other controversy, he has demanded respect, refused to take even modest measures to justify it. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I anticipated this decision would be made. It was as obvious a case for a special master as we could have or have ever had in the history of the United States. I'm just relieved that it has come to pass. Meanwhile, I'm going to open the lines for callers so I continue to address additional issues. So, the number, of course, and Mitchell is here to take your call, 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Here's a new report. Trump poll numbers have soared because of the FBI raid. Former President Donald Trump says his poll numbers have improved after the FBI's raid on his Mar-a-Lago estate in South Florida. Trump made his comments during an interview on the Real America's Voice Network on Thursday. He was asked if the raid was a political hit job against the leader of our movement, was in opposition to President Joe Biden getting another term. I mean, how much more political could this be? Trump replied, well, there's no question about it. Nothing like this has ever happened. He added, I don't even like saying it because, frankly, it sounds trivial by comparison. But my poll numbers have gone through the roof because of it. I've never been involved in an event that's driven me up like this. Addressing the FBI's seizing of documents and a photo showing some of them spread out on the floor, Trump said, a lot of people think that when you walk into my office, I have confidential documents or whatever it might be, all declassified, spread out all over my floor like a slop, like I'm sitting there reading these documents all day long or somebody else would be. It's so dishonest when you look at it. And so people were concerned because they said, gee, that's a strange thing. You look at the floor and you see documents. They have cover sheets on the documents. They The FBI put them there. And they put them there in a messy fashion. Then they took a picture and they released it to the public. And this is what we're dealing with, these people. Trump had previously ripped the FBI raid. He wrote on Truth Social. The political hacks and thugs had no right under the Presidential Records Act to storm Mar-a-Lago and steal everything in sight, including passports and privileged documents. They even broke into my safe with a safecracker, can you believe? This act was created for very good reason, and it works. Meanwhile, we have a video of two raids back-to-back, both in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, a Trump raid, in a Biden raid. And you're not going to see it, because I'm not creating a video version of today's show, though I will include it in Need to Know, which will show up later on my BitChute channel. But when you watch Trump rally, whole arena packed, 20, maybe 30,000.
Than anything else?
Biden rally.
You realize that?
Maybe 200.
The point is,
maybe three.
We have so much of you. So much of you. I've not.
Back to Trump. If we're supposed to believe this incompetent nitwit actually beat this master of politics, Donald Trump, stunning. Stunning. Meanwhile, and this is such an important issue given the green agenda that's driving the Biden administration. Most Americans don't want electric vehicles. At each and every turn, the Biden administration screams from the rooftop about the need for people to use electric vehicles. Vice President Kamala Harris says these vehicles are better for the environment and won't come with a smell of diesel gas. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm boasts about the tax credits Americans can receive if they move to using electric vehicles. Likewise, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg claims these vehicles will save Americans more money in the long run. However, the gap between what the Biden administration is proposing versus what people actually think about using electric vehicles is massive. A new poll now confirms most Americans aren't too keen on trading in their gas-powered cars at all. A verdict from the American people. In a new poll conducted by Rasmussen, 54% of Americans maintain there's no practicality to the use of electric vehicles. Just a meager 28% told the pollster they believe electric vehicles are feasible for the general public to use. Additional polling goes on to reveal another 18% aren't truly sure about how practical they are. Here we have a tweet from the RNC Research. Biden Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm is a much cheaper strategy to get an electric vehicle. The average cost of an electric vehicle is $67,000. The federal government can and likely will continue to promote these vehicles as the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yet the data shows this message is largely failing. The Biden administration's failure to convince even one-third of the nation that electric vehicles are practical is furthermore an indictment of this all-or-nothing leftist climate change agenda. Negative PR regarding electric vehicles. Despite the claims from the White House, electric vehicles are constantly running into issues. This could very well be a factor in which so many Americans have deemed them to be not practical. For starters, many electric vehicle charging stations don't even work. This means that once someone's car runs out, they're stranded unless they can find a proper charging station. And then how do you get your car to the charging station? Here you have Michael Schellenberger tweeting, August 24th. California banned sale of new gasoline-powered cars. August 30th, California asked Californians to avoid charging electric vehicles due to electricity shortages. California is going to be the death knell of the electric vehicle movement. Somehow, the White House is pushing for new spending on electric vehicle charging stations, yet the ones in existence today that are still having problems haven't been addressed. There's been no clear announcement as to what's causing these very real issues. California, meanwhile, is moving to completely phase out the sale of gas-powered cars by the year 2035. Within days of this news coming out, the Golden State also made headlines for urging its residents not to fully charge their electric vehicles, owing to the need to conserve energy. Unbelievable. Here's a further article. California announces ban on gas-powered vehicles, then announces energy emergency requesting residents not to charge electric vehicles. A week ago, California state regulators voted to ban the sale of gasoline-powered cars by 2035. Goal is to make every vehicle in California an electric vehicle. However, just a week later, the California Independent System Operator, ISO, issued a flex alert for the Labor Day holiday weekend, asking people not to charge electric vehicles because the power grid cannot handle the demand. Here's part of the flex alert. California ISO extends flex alert to Thursday, September 1st, Folsom, California. The California Independent System Operator, ISO, has extended the statewide flex alert, calling for a second consecutive day of voluntary electricity conservation tomorrow, Thursday, September 1st, from 4 to 9 p.m., due to continuing extreme temperatures pushing up energy demand and tightening available power supplies. With excessive heat in the forecast across much of the state, Western U.S., a grid operator is again expecting high electricity demand, primarily from air conditioning use, and is calling for the public to conserve as much electricity as possible further down. The flex alert for Thursday, September 1st is scheduled for 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. when the grid is most stressed from higher demand and less solar energy. During that time, consumers are urged to conserve power by setting thermostats to 78 degrees or higher. If health permits, avoid use of major appliances and turning off unnecessary lights. They should also avoid charging electric vehicles while the flex alert is in effect. Just how absurd is it? Meanwhile, the Babylon Bee has responded. With energy grid unreliable, Governor Newsom announces all cars to be wind up by 2035. Sacramento, California. Governor Gavin Newsom announced Wednesday would require all cars in the state of California to be fully wind up by 2035. Experts agree that wind-up vehicles will put less strain on the state's weak power grid and help cut back on childhood obesity. I heard on the news that our state's electrical infrastructure cannot support millions of people charging their electric vehicles simultaneously, said a concerned Newsom. Losing electricity at my winery is the last thing I want, so I've decided to alter the plan. New vehicles will no longer have to be electric. Instead, all Californians will need to drive wind-up cars. Only then can we be truly independent of both gas and electricity, because it's kind of hot during the summer, he added. Prototype wind-up vehicles are already being test-driven across the state. The Ford Nutcracker is expected to be first on the market, followed closely by the Toyota Torrent. A survey of California drivers revealed a distinct lack of support for the new measure, but Newsom says he's not worried about negative Nellies. wind-up cars have infinity gas mileage, he said, because they don't use gas. It'll be great. At publishing time, it was revealed that all government vehicles continue to be gas-operated. There's more, but we've been joined by Paul from California. Give us your thoughts, Paul. Preliminary, is that we're hitting the break, and then we'll continue thereafter.
Well, I just wanted to do my part, not take any days off, including holidays such as Labor Day. I gotta call in and help contribute if I can. You know, it's interesting that you were talking about the wind up car, which you know, it's humor, of course, but there's actually quite a bit of interesting, shall we say, possibilities behind such concepts. And as a matter of fact, there used to be, I remember watching videos on it a while ago, it's quite interesting, a compressed air car company. I believe it was out of Chicago. You ever hear about that, Jim?
No, tell us, Paul. Compressed air?
Yes, no, this was viable, workable. In fact, today, they could easily have a compressed air car that would run on compressed air. They did it before. And in fact, that was it was one of those things where you're on YouTube. Back in the day when YouTube was more, shall we say, wild and open, and just tripped across this lecture from some guy who was some sort of I'm assuming science, a professor giving a lecture and talking about the compressed air car company and what they did and the way they did it. He didn't get into that much technical info about the car itself, but the fact of the matter is you can indeed compress air to a great extent, and it does have a tremendous amount of energy.
Stand by. We'll continue this conversation right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Paul, I'm very eager to get your opinion about this bizarre speech. I thought it was the strangest, weirdest, and most disturbing in the history of the United States. Your thoughts?
I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't hear the last comment or question you made.
I was inviting your thoughts about this very bizarre speech by... supposed to be Biden, but you may have heard me speculate that they're actually using a hologram. I mean, it was truly comparable to something you might have expected from Adolf Hitler. I mean, it was bizarre. And of course, I've been spending most of the show talking about reactions to it. I'm eager to get your thoughts.
Well, you know, not surprisingly, I paid no attention to it. I've just heard comments about it, and I've seen still photos of the setup, and I think I saw one brief clip. I would imagine the vast majority of American people would be the same. You know, they just don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, and of course it's, you know, it's typical weird stuff. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, Hitler. I resent, you know, the idea of conflating what's going on in this country or Biden with, you know, Hitler, because this is exactly what Hitler and the National Socialists were fighting against. They were trying to save Western civilization. And it's not just idle speculation on my part. I've performed the necessary Kundalini yoga and gotten into a trance and have discerned this with my third eye, so I know it for a fact.
Paul, yeah, sure. If we get into the niceties of history, Paul, that makes sense. I'm talking about the stereotypical impression. And the fact is, this was bizarre beyond belief. I mean, he was really declaring war on half of the nation, and I've never seen anything like it, and the reaction has been just astonished and very, very concerned by many different sources.
It's not an original thought of mine to be able to observe what it is they're doing. I mean, it's obvious they've been doing it for a very long time, and it's just in a bigger and more ostentatious way now. But they've always been batting the American people back and forth between these two perceived opposite poles, and they're not opposite poles at all, right? I mean, they're just, as you know, but now the perception is there. But of course, if you've read enough and heard enough commentary that's out there on all the different channels online, you know, there are some differences between some of these quote Democrats and some of these quote Republicans. But on the larger issues, they're all on the same page. I mean, when you really get down to it, the majority of Democrats, I am certain, are not Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi type Democrats. Right now, the fact of the matter is our government has typically been run and controlled by Jews for a long time, but they were behind the scenes, and now they're right up front. I mean, Trump appointed all kinds of Jews, Bush, also Obama, but nobody's appointed more Jews than Biden. So it's just more out front, more in the open. It's not a left-wing agenda. You know, it's not a Democratic agenda. It's not certainly not a liberal or progressive agenda. This is a Jewish agenda, and some people might argue Talmudic Jewish, it doesn't matter. But all this stuff about the transgenderism, about bringing in this totalitarian order based upon, you know, climate change or a pandemic or whatever it is they're trying to base it upon, this is just nothing more than a new version of Jewish Bolshevik communism designed to completely destroy us as much as possible and then rule over whatever is left. And there's nothing more clear in my mind than what I just laid out.
Well, I would have liked you to have watched the speech because it was very disturbing and unlike any other speech ever given by a president in the history of the United States. It was extraordinary and in all bad ways. Let me see if Mitchell can join us. Mitchell, did you get a chance? Did you watch the Biden speech? I'd be very keen to get your thoughts. Mitchell.
Hey, hi, Jim. No, I didn't watch that speech, but I saw enough of the imagery. I listened to enough of the quotes it's part of this action for a call of revolution, a call of war against, well, anybody conservative or really anybody who doesn't go along with the, you know, the red socialist takeover by the Democrat Party. If you're not with them, you're against them. I mean, that's the typical rhetoric we see, and that's what Biden's message was to the country, basically. And what he has caused, what he has done is, you know, just as prior to the 2020 election, the Democrats set forth and unleashed violence in America by the rhetoric that the Democrat politicians were using. And now, essentially, they've done the same thing, except it's more of a long-term campaign against what I consider constitutional patriots.
See, I here's where I divide with Paul. I think this was very indicative of a profound difference between the Democrats and the Trump Republicans, maybe not the establishment Republicans, or I might be more inclined to agree. But with mega Republicans, I think this was absolutely horrific. And you, in my opinion, there really is a massive difference between them. It's not just business as usual. It's not two wings of the same bird. And I can't imagine an event that could make that more starkly obvious than what just happened with this speech. Would you agree with that, Mitchell?
Not totally, Jim, because the simple fact is, you know, we're working in this paradigm where we have this problem reaction solution. And, you know, in all honesty, we don't know if we're in the problem of the reaction or the solution part of some psyop that these sons of bitches are running at the people with. We can't get the truth. We don't know the damn truth. And everybody has been gaslighted by the media for so long that many of them that think that they know the truth don't know anything. And those that think they know the truth, well, they're lost out in the wilderness. And as long as they control the powers of the control of the mind of the subconscious, they can. Look, if you can turn a young girl into a boy or a young boy into a girl and then propagate that through all society, who in the hell knows what they can do with the people today? They could turn around, put them on a stripper pole, and they'd be loving it. I mean, the psychology and the way things are so screwed up, who knows whose head is on correctly, if that makes sense.
Bizarre. Paul, your further thoughts? I really would have liked it if you'd seen the speech. I really was hoping you had. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I'll watch it, but I'd rather watch the most, you know, kind of semi-boring, lopsided, college football game than to hear anything Joe Biden has to say. And let me ask you this question, just for the fun of it. Okay, what made me think about it when I saw the images and then I heard you talk about it, is I thought about so many things that they have done to us sort of incrementally, and then occasionally as they're taking the measured steps, they take a big, bold step forward, right? I mean, the perfect example was, you know, the pandemic, where at first it was, okay, just a few weeks to flatten the curve, and then the next thing you know, there's like lockdowns and mask mandates and rumors of the military getting involved in the vaccines, and then they backed off of that. And then there was employers requiring the vaccine. So it's all these things that they do, you just, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, there's no way they would have tried it. Similar to when they put up that 40-foot menorah, okay, for the White House, for the so-called the holiday. They don't want to do it Christmas anymore. They call it, you know, the holidays, right? So these people, okay, and we know who they are, and you might not agree with the way that I phrase things and some of the things that I say, but you know that I am mostly accurate. I am certainly historically accurate, and I'm definitely accurate in my own mind with perception. And I know that most people are going to agree with me, because if you read the comments on BitChute and these other platforms of the various videos that I watched, that you can watch or that you have watched, all of the comments, I would say probably 80 to 90%, more or less conform to the sorts of things that I'm saying. And these people, you know, they might as well just put a president up there with horns and a pitchfork and have flames behind him and the red light, right? And what are we going to do about it? And also, what does it matter? I mean, like I've said before, I've lived my whole life and will continue to do so with very little or almost no interaction with, quote, government in quotations. Washington, D.C. doesn't really govern anybody. The whole idea about, well, what goes on there and their, you know, the operations of Washington, D.C., oh, they can't get anything done. There's a budget impasse. It's all theater. It's all nonsense. It doesn't affect the average person's life. What does affect the average person's life, of course, is the destruction of our money and the massive waves of non-white immigration that are going to continue until we get the backbone to actually do something about it, because the government has shown that it is our enemy. It's the facilitator of this non-white immigration that none of us want. And I know, again, like I said, a lot of people, maybe including yourself, don't like the sort of racial or racialist terms that I phrase things in, but I'm honest about it, okay? People don't object to people that look like themselves, okay? I wouldn't object to people that are Swedish or Scandinavian or German or English, because until they start talking with an accent, I don't know that they're foreigner. But everybody can see that all these Mexicans are foreigners, that all these Chinese and all these Indians and so on are foreigners. That's why we don't want them. That's what Trump didn't explicitly say, but everybody thought that's what he was saying, and that's why he got so much support, that and the economic issues.
I don't know that I buy all that, Paul. I do think, there's a wonderful out there. It's a video by a migrant who came to the United States about 15 years ago and had to earn his way to citizenship. And he's a black guy, articulate, addressing, you know, these issues, and why he resents allowing all these migrants just to pour over the border. Well, everyone in the United States should resent it. It's grotesque that it's taking place. But it's not got to do with their race. It's got to do with the illegitimacy of flooding across the border.
Oh, God.
I can't believe that you're even making this argument. Goes back to the other day, which I want to apologize for, because I occasionally sling out terms like moron and retarded, and I don't want to get mud on anybody that's near and dear to me, such as yourself or Mitch and so forth. But I get frustrated. I've done this all my life, long before I started calling you. But it should be obvious to anybody, I shouldn't have to state it, that the points that I make are in the aggregate. Okay, so for anybody to bring forth an anecdotal example about, oh, this guy or that guy or my neighbor or my coworker, it's just nonsense, because the aggregate argument is not assailable in any way, shape, or form. I could provide you the data, Jim. You could see it for yourself, all these African countries and what their collective IQs are. It was done. It was put together in a book called IQ and the Wealth of Nations. You could see the chart. Many of these African nations have collective IQs of 60, 62, 64, 65, so on. And it's very consistent. Did you know that they estimated Coco the gorilla at an IQ of 75? Coco the gorilla had a 2,000-word vocabulary. Okay? You don't I just don't understand why people like you don't get it. These people are not the same as us. They are human savages, and they're flooding the country with them, okay? They are, the Mexicans and the Central Americans that are coming here are basically the direct descendants of Stone Age people who didn't have the wheel. Okay?
Paul.
This is who the Spanish encountered a few hundred years ago. Please spare me or spare the listeners any goddamn stories about how some guy came here and made his life better. The average American doesn't give a goddamn, and the white people who think that's okay are faggots, in my opinion.
Paul.
Any white man who thinks it's okay to have these immigrants come here and make money and then champion these people because, they're against further immigration because, they don't want to upset their money-making apple cart. Those people are race-trading faggots, sellouts to America.
Paul.
We were.
Paul, I'm sorry, Paul. You got so far off of the edge, or you're just making an idiot of yourself, and I don't like it. I'd like you to come on the show when you're acting reasonable. You got way off the. I have a whole damn book about the evolution of intelligence from animal to mammal through gorilla, mountain gorilla to human intelligence. I have a whole book about it. I have explained before. There are fundamental racial differences in intelligence. I wasn't addressing that question. I was pointing out the lawlessness of allowing migrants to just flood over in the millions. That's just completely different. Cut Paul off. Get him off here. He's got
it's
over
got
the edge.
To hell with you, Paul.
Cut him off. Cut him off. Brew, I'm glad you're here, Brew. That was a little more lively than expected. Brew, please join the conversation. Brew, are you there?
He's muted.
Well,
on his phone.
There he is.
There I am.
But Paul to be muted.
You could finish your sentence. Paul just what?
Yeah. Well, I finished my sentence. Go ahead, Brew. I'm glad to have you here.
Well, my neighbor, and I'm making a joke here, my neighbor actually wants to remind us of how, remember back in 2017, 2018, there was a huge outrage about FGM. It was called female genital mutilation because of all the Muslims that are coming into the country and they're doing it illegally and so on. And that was just a few short years ago. And today they're all outraged that, you know, people are outraged that they want to cut off the genitals of and mutilate the genitals of children 18 and under or even above. It doesn't matter how they just push it. And the younger, the better. And we hear these recordings on the internet now where people calling into these places that do these surgeries, and they're like, well, you know, they actually said, I heard one recording said, the younger the better.
Grotesque. It is so grotesque. This is a violation of informed consent. You have to have adult people who have age of maturity to make these decisions for themselves. Anyone else doing this is committing a barbarous act. I am just so offended. I'm so glad you brought this up, Brew, because this is a major issue. And again, the Democrats had just gone stark, maybe mad. Paul's insistence, there's no difference, but I'm telling you, there are differences.
Look, you have to block out. You can't even say Democrats anymore. You can't say Republicans anymore. These are, look, these are Bolsheviks, okay? These are, the, you know, the Solzhenitsyn plan and all the stuff you have to do with communism and Bolshevism. This is all the core of it. And of course, it extends to who is their father, the father of lies, Lucifer. So this is very much an evil plan to distort, to destroy, to change humanity, to change DNA, to change, you know, people in general. And it is transhuman thing. This agenda is so vast and far and wide. It's hard to even just, you know, off a phone call or anything. And even if you broke out your notebook, you'd probably fill it up, half of it, and then within an hour, just thinking all the different things they're trying to do. You know, you guys reference this ridiculous thing that happened with old Biden the other day and giving a speech and a backdrop and Independence Hall. Let's think one thing right away. Was it even live? I bet you dollars of donuts that was pre-recorded. I'll bet you anything.
Well, Drew, it was pre-recorded. I'm even speculating that it was a hologram. I mean, I'm telling you, there's so many weird aspects to this, but it's so bad. That's where I was really disappointed, because I was hoping to get Paul's take on the speech, but he just goes into his classic, there's no difference, and, you know.
Well, I've heard a lot of clips by it and people commenting on it, you know, all since Friday and over the weekend, people just making the remarks and rebuttaling it. Look, that first of all, that joke that they call the president is not, he didn't even write it. He's just reciting a teleprompter. Who wrote it? And I forget the guy's name. I think it was Howard, but it's a Pulitzer Prize winning historian. Okay, who wins the Pulitzer Prize? Jews. and what are historians? I was listening to one commentator, Brooks Agnew, by the way, what it was. And he's like, oh, what do historians like to do? They like to rewrite history, and that's exactly what they do. And this guy is just a historian who rewrites history and wants to put this up there. It's all an act. It's a play. It's a facade. It's to upset people, just to be the narrative for the next several days while they're doing other things like destroying the nation. You know, this is all a joke. You know, it's theater. So the more you guys talk about it and say Biden did it, well, that's the first where you went wrong. Biden didn't do anything. If that is even the real Joe Biden, we don't know who that is.
Oh, I agree it's not the real Joe Biden. I agree he's just a sock puppet. I do agree it's just an actor reading words. But the point is, these words in this setting were unlike any we've ever seen from an American president before, Brew.
But it's not the American president. It's not even an American. These are Bolsheviks. These are dual citizens. They're globalists. What's a globalist but a communist? And they're out to destroy. They're trying to create this serf system, you know, this whole deal.
I can agree with all of that. The best part of the whole thing is, the major networks didn't play it. ABC, NBC, CBS didn't even run with it. But I'm telling you, something very weird happened on this occasion. You had the office. I agree about the occupant and all that stuff. The office of the presidency was used to present a grossly undemocratic, un-American, savage speech, an attack on political opponents that's never happened before in the United States. I mean, Biden's been working his way up to it. The ersatz Biden, the Democrat Party, which is all but a lost cause. There's something very, very wrong about that speech, and I'm just trying to get it sorted out because, man, it was a turning point. In my opinion, it was a turning point.
Well, focus on real history, and you know, everyone wants to, you know, Alex Jones and so many others, it's so Hitlerian. It's not Hitlerian, actually. It's actually Bolshevism. It's what the people of 1917 had to, and what the people of Russia in 1917, when the Bolshevik takeover, it wasn't a revolution, it was a takeover, infiltrators of a nation, just like they're doing in the United States, just like they've done it with numerous countries over the past 80 some years, is what they have done. And this is the Bolsheviks. They took over a nation, and everybody that is not them is the enemy.
Period. I agree with all this, Brew. It's a point of
Hitler never said that to his own people. The peace people were happy.
No. Listen, they were successful. Drew, I'm just explaining in terms of conventional political discourse, we trade in a certain amount of stereotypes. This was a stereotypical Hitlerian version of a talk. And I agree with you. In fact, beneath the scene, it's the Bolsheviks. And I even agree with Paul that it's Zionists running the shop here. It's gone too far. This is just really, really strange and bizarre. And I'm delighted to have you here, Boo. I'm just delighted, and particularly after having this blow up with Paul. I'm a nice voice of sanity, and I've missed you. Your commentaries in the past have been always valuable and illuminating, so I hope you'll begin calling in more often.
Well, Paul has an audience out there, and he's just trying to keep up his street cred. That's all.
Paul does have his audience. I think he got a little carried away today, and I didn't appreciate that. I mean, I was making a different point than he thought I was making, and he wouldn't let me make clear the point I was making, which has to do with border security, the sort of thing that Trump did that Biden's not doing, and yet he insists these are two wings of the same bird. There are, in my opinion, major differences between these parties, particularly the populism of Trump supporters and the elitism of Biden supporters. Even though it's a Democrat party, they have lost their way. They have turned into a communist Bolshevik party, and I think you're spot on, Brew.
They're not illegal aliens. They're foreign nationals that have been sanctioned to invade. In fact, they've given carte blanche. They've been given tickets, money, and so forth to do what they're doing. And it's a war against you, the people. Take care.
I agree. Thank you, Brew. Thank you for calling in. Thank you, Mitchell. Thank you, Paul, too, even. Oh, a little more constraint would be most welcome. Thanks, everyone. Back on Wednesday. We'll be back. See you then.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and the